And yeah, so finally I got you on the air again. It was great to see you last week. And tell the folks in Las Vegas and beyond exactly who you are, what you do, and your cause.
Absolutely. Well, of course, it was wonderful seeing you at CPAC, and what a fabulous CPAC it was. It was one of the best I've been to, and I've been going to CPAC, my God, probably for close to 15, 20 years. I had the honor and privilege. And first, let me, before I even tell you about myself, let me to say a little bit about the man who actually introduced me to CPAC, who your audience is familiar with, you're certainly familiar with, Wayne is familiar with, and that is the longstanding chairman of the Congress of Racial Equality, Roy Innes, and his last name is not a coincidence. He's my daddy as well, and we lost him. We lost an American treasure, an American hero, a conservative hero earlier this year in January. And
my prayers and thoughts to you.
Thank you, Megan.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. I appreciate that. And you've already said that to me privately. I appreciate it. You saying it publicly as well. But he brought me to CPAC years ago when I was a much younger man with a lot more hair and a little less weight.
That all happens to us, doesn't it? We all got that same problem. That's right.
But and I've been going there for years. But I've got to say that this was the best CPAC ever. And I'm not just saying it because I have the honor and privilege of serving on the board of the ACU Foundation, which helps to put this on. I say it because you had just about every type of conservative, libertarian. Of course, you had the president attend, which is the first time a president of the United States in his first year of being president actually attended the CPAC since Ronald Reagan did way back when. You had, of course, Vice President Pence who was there. You had members, all types of members of Congress there, other members of the administration. Great Kellyanne Conway was there. Steve Bannon, Reince Priebus came out there together, escorted by Matt Schlapp, and it was just a wonderful affair, and it was wonderful to see you there. I'm trying hard to follow in my father's footsteps at the Congress of Racial Equality, and we have moved the headquarters of the organization, and we're going to be expanding here in Nevada and all across the country.
Good. That is great news.
Yep. It's congressofracialequality.org. If those want to learn a little history about the Congress of Racial Equality, our role in the Civil Rights Revolution, we've been around for 75 years, and we're not going away anytime soon. And of course, I am the immediate past chairman of the Tea Party Forward, which you're familiar with. And I think, you know, as brilliant as President Trump has been in the prior election year, and as brilliant as he's been in executing his plan and following up with the American people and doing exactly what he told the American people he would be doing, I have to say that the stage was set for his revolution, his political revolution in 2010 by the Tea Party Revolution that took place and followed up by the 2014 Tea Party-generated revolution. And I'm just so proud. So even though I'm no longer chairman of the 3-million-strong Tea Party Forward, I will always be Tea Party in my heart and in my soul, and I have nothing but love for the movement. And I know how responsible they are for the new America that we're in.
Absolutely. You know, I was part of that genesis as well back in 2009, and Andrew Breitbart was actually the first Tea Party he ever spoke at was at mine in Santa Ana, and we
How
got
about that.
And I met him. Yeah, I met him at CPAC, or at least I was kind of informally introduced to him, and then he ended up giving me a call. But you know, it's interesting because the Democrats are now trying to. Of course, they always tried to smear the Tea Party and use the typical Alinsky tactics against that movement, and called us jackboots. And Nancy Pelosi was nearly in tears, if you recall. You know, this reminds me of the brown shirts. You know, remember all that? But they don't say a peep.
Yeah, and the allegation of being spit on and being called
which never
the N-word
happened.
And Andrew Breitbart, you know this. Congress, Andrew Breitbart, put a bounty and said, if you can show me that that the N-word was uttered by one of the Tea Party folk on Capitol Hill steps, I'll give you, I think it was like $100,000 or maybe $500,000 or something like that.
It was a big bounty.
Andrew was great for that. And it's funny, you know, the Lord works through vehicles, and I have no doubt that the Lord worked through Andrew Breitbart. And how ironic that kind of he got his start with the Tea Party at your Tea Party gathering in Santa Ana, California. Well, he's the one who actually got me involved in Tea Party because he had seen me defending the Tea Party on Fox News and on CNN and MSNBC if they would have me.
Because they said it was a racist movement.
Exactly.
It was like the second coming of the Klan or something.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working for a great civil rights organization like the Congress of Racial Equality, I know a racist when I see a racist. And I had an opportunity as a part of CORE's affordable energy program, which we very much against government putting their finger on the scales and believe that the consumer should determine what is the best energy source and let it be a jump off for renewables, for traditional fossil fuels, for all of the above, which is what we need to power this great economy. But those travels took me all across the country, and I got invited by a variety of Tea Party groups, Tea Party organizations, particularly in Wisconsin, which is almost like ground zero for the Tea Party revolution. And I saw these folk, and I saw how they reacted to me. I saw how much of a rock star people like Herman Cain were, and Alan
nine,
West
nine,
and
nine,
others.
999, right?
Yeah,
999.
Exactly, man.
Good old Herman. Love that
guy. It was evil. It was wicked. It was worse than miscasting. You know, it was worse than people making a mistake. It was almost satanic in the way that they went after the Tea Party. And of course, when President Obama came into power, and of course with Queen Nancy and King Harry Reid, they went after the Tea Party with their tax exempt status, and they prevented so many Tea Party groups from being as active as they could have been in the 2012 cycle. And they did it very much on purpose, using the old Dick Nixon tactics, if you would, which is leverage the power of the IRS, leverage the power of the federal government to politically intimidate those that you disagree with.
That's right. You know, in my lifetime, and you know, I've only been on this earth 29 years, huh? But in my lifetime...
And you look young for your age, my dear.
Well, what's my age? Age ain't nothing but a number. Anyway, so I had not seen such a weaponization of federal government agencies against people that I had seen in the Barack Obama administration, because when you look at how the Tea Parties were targeted by the IRS, you had Gibson guitars that was stormed by... the DOJ. You had Catherine Engelbrecht when she started True the Vote. Her family business was audited, and basically by five different agencies audited, and doors were broken down, and she had to spend. And they do this because it's not only an intimidation factor, but it's also about money, because who has the deep pockets to come up against the lawyers and the agencies
That's
of the
right.
federal government?
That's right. Meg, you are so right, and it's a tactic. But, you know, here's the irony of all ironies. They call the Tea Party racist, right? Well, those very same tactics, you know, of government intimidation were used by J. Edgar Hoover in the old days, in the 1960s and 1970s, against civil rights organizations that he saw as a threat, you know, to his politics. So how ironic, you know, that under a black president, okay, with a couple of black attorney generals, that they would use the same vicious and I would say racist tactics against the Tea Party that at one time were used against the civil rights movement.
Well, because it was such a big threat. It was it was a threat. And we gave the Republicans, the no good Republicans that used all of our votes and then didn't deliver the promises that they had promised us. So we gave them the largest congressional majority in the midterms, and they did nothing. They didn't repeal Obamacare. They didn't do what they had promised. And that's the rise of Trump. And I said,
Absolutely.
If the Tea Party comes back alive, meaning we're always alive, it's in your heart, right?
And you know something? I would say that the Tea Party is not is very much alive. And it's very much alive, and the energy and the excitement, you know, but the thing is, you know, you sometimes win battles, and when you win battles, you have to realize that there are new battles to fight. And we
right.
have won battles by energizing the Republican Party, by
right.
Almost single-handedly reviving the Republican Party and creating the stage where now we've got a president of the United States, and we have a speaker of the House, and a healthy majority with a very strong Tea Party caucus within that majority. I mean, now you might want to, I think they call themselves the Freedom Caucus, but no question, a rose by any other name still smells as sweet. And then you have a strong conservative oriented limited government, small government Republicans in the United States Senate, and now we are in a position to not just protest from the outside, but from the inside, actually create some legislation, prevent the Democrats from continuing to erode this country and this country's economic growth and economic engine, and just revive capitalism, revive patriotism in our country. And that, now we've got the wheel and we've got to drive.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Do you have time for another segment? Or do you have to run?
For you, my darling, of course.
Yeah, awesome. Love you, Niger. All right, you guys, that's Niger Innes. This is Megan Barth. We're at 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And yes, we were. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. As the sun sets over the valley in Las Vegas, I'm coming at you live. 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. And let's go back to Niger Innes. Hi, Niger.
Hey there.
Hi there. Okay, so we talked about the Tea Party movement, and the Tea Party is alive. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
We don't have the rallies anymore, but we ushered in, along with Democrats that tore up their Democrat cards, especially in the Rust Belt, switched their party affiliation
yep.
to the Republicans. And many people that voted for Barack Obama twice voted for Trump. Many people that never even voted before voted for Trump. So we're in this position of power right now, and we own basically everything. Okay, we it's like a monopoly board, and we got Park Place, and you know, and all of that, right? We got hotels on everything.
Absolutely, and it's just not the Baltic property either.
Right, right. Exactly. I always hated that one. Yeah, it was purple or something. Anyway, so we got all this power, right? We've got
yeah.
control, and what is it, Niger? You think we can expect? Let's take Obamacare, okay?
Yep.
Because I talked yesterday that I was very concerned that the Obamacare bill was being held in the bowels of Congress,
yep.
Which makes it, you know, the secrecy, then the rumors start. But I heard Neera, whatever her name is, with American...
Neera Tanden,
oh,
yes.
What a
one she is, huh?
Yeah,
isn't
and
it?
So she's talking to Martha McCallum the other day, and she's like...
You mean screeching, because she doesn't really talk. She talks like, nah, 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 you know?
Right. And so she's saying something like, well, we, you know, we don't know what's in it. And I said, well, why don't we just pass it and then we'll find out? You know, this is the same.
We've heard that one before.
Right. But what do you think is going to happen? Because we've tried 16 ways to Sunday. Rand Paul said that
yep.
there were, you know, bills that passed.
Yep.
So why not just use those and repeal it and then
yep.
come up with a replacement bill? Where do you see this?
And Rand Paul has been courageous
yep.
and pushing back. And it's ironic, but it seems, and it's actually very much connected to what you just said, which is that we have the control of levers of all, you know, legislative government. We have both houses of Congress, and of course we have the presidency, which is the ultimate decider, if you will. And I think the battle is not even so much Republicans versus Democrats as it is big government Republicans versus
right.
smaller government Republicans. You
exactly.
know, and look, I have friends on both sides. Okay, let me just say clear, and I can understand the complexity. Look, I always knew when I ran for Congress, I had the honor and privilege to run for Congress. In the 4th Congressional District in 2014, and Obamacare was a very, very big issue. And, you know, what I always said when I was running was that, you know, the problem was not the idea or the goal of having health care, expanding health care opportunities for the American people. It was the way that the Obama vision and the Nancy Pelosi, it was really actually, quite frankly, it was Nancy Pelosi. They had kind of set the table for President Obama even before he was president, because as you remember, Nutmeg, they came into power sweeping Congress in 2006. So they had 2 years to work on their big left-wing progressive agenda to remake the United States into a socialist Western European-style country. And they were almost successful. Thank God the Tea Party revolutions took place, and ultimately President Trump was elected, so we can reverse a lot of the stuff that they started. But I knew that when I ran in 2014 that the problem that in fact what would happen and what I predicted did eventually happen, which is that they would sweep in a number of people into Medicaid,
expand
Medicaid. That was ultimately what they ended up doing.
Yep.
90 probably, you know, I'm guesstimating here, but I would say certainly more than 50% of the increased individuals on Obamacare are just part of Medicaid now.
Right.
And the problem with that is Medicaid was already broke,
right,
and it was already going bankrupt, you know. So, you know, the ultimate fix that we have to make, and look, the struggle in Congress right now is, like I said, between bigger government Democrats and small government. That was a Freudian slip,
yeah.
Meg.
There is nothing like a small government Democrat. You mean big?
But a big government Republican versus small government Republicans, and the struggle is yes, we want, they both want to vote against Obamacare, but the bigger government, and I'm sure they don't like that label, but bigger government Republicans are saying that we have to replace it with something. There are too many Americans now that are caught up in Obamacare, and we have to have a replacement bill, and so we need to simultaneously vote, kill Obamacare, but then replace it instantly with something else, so that vulnerable people don't fall through the cracks. And I've got a lot of empathy for that posture and that point of view. At the same time, I say thank God for committed constitutional conservatives, smaller government Republicans like Rand Paul and like the Freedom Caucus and the House of Representatives that are pushing back and saying, no, we voted for it a million times. Let us end Obamacare today, and then we can haggle over the replacement that is needed and necessary. And maybe what is needed, you know, as a compromise, is some type of safety net, if you will, for vulnerable Americans that have gotten swept into Obamacare and now are somewhat dependent on it.
Well, once you create the dependency, you know, and that was the thing about Obamacare, you hire 16,000 IRS agents, how much was that website?
Oh, my Lord. How much was that disastrous website that they just took money and flushed it down the toilet? Millions of dollars.
Oh, it was hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think they kept saying, what was here? Oh, yeah, like 14,000 people are going to die if we don't pass this bill. It was something like that. Remember that? And then, you know, there's like 30 million, I think they said, people without health insurance. Well, by the time they spent it on the website, everyone could have gotten like a couple hundred grand.
That's true. And, you know, it's funny, but that's a very serious point you make, because the reality is that the most generous people on planet Earth are the American people. And this is what I said in 2014. If indeed an honest broker had come to the American people and said, look, there's this segment of the population that is uninsured and wants to be insured, okay, and that is economically vulnerable, you know, below the threshold, literally in poverty, the American people that have proven to be so generous would have, I believe, would have said, yes, for that isolated group of folk, we will help them and we will assist them. But that's not what they did.
Right.
It was a takeover of the entire healthcare system, from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich, that you will be mandated to be in this government-controlled system.
That's absolutely right. Amen. Hey, do you think you're going to run for office again?
You know, I keep hearing that over and over again, and no, my goal is to expand CORE. I think that the fight for, it's not so much the fight for racial equality, because I think we are all equal and we have equal opportunity and we're in the greatest country in the history of mankind, but I do believe that the left has done such a job at poisoning the minds of minorities, blacks, Latinos, and and quite frankly, some poor whites as well. And what we need to do to complete the great Tea Party revolution that started in 2010, continued in 2014, and I would argue continues today with the great presidency of Donald Trump, I think that the what will make this effort successful and a sustained effort, okay, over the long term, not just 5 years, not just 10 years, not just 20 years, is the ability that we have to bring in minorities, so-called minorities, blacks, Hispanics, Asian Americans, others, into this movement that embraces capitalism, is believes in this country and our founding fathers and our founding principles, and believes that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. One of our biggest programs in the Congress for Racial Equality is our Join America program, where we promote patriotic assimilation. When's the last time you even heard the term assimilation? If you even use that term, you're called a racist.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's nonsense. And that's the final frontier. So that's where my energies are going to be. Having said that, I am a loyal, personally a loyal Republican, and I do want to heal the breach that exists within the party, within our state, and within other state parties across the country. Because we're in charge, so the American people are going to be looking to us for leadership and for delivery.
That's fantastic. Niger, God bless you, and God bless what you do. Send people to your website.
Yes, congressofracialequality.org. That's congressofracialequality.org. Meg, always great to be on with you. I look forward to seeing you in person.
Yes, and not in D.C.
Not in D.C., here at home.
All righty. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Niger. Have a great
Thanks,
weekend.
Thanks, Meg. You too.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back after this break. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Coming at you live on this beautiful Friday night out of Las Vegas, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. And I got a surprise caller. I got Jim Marchant from Assembly District 38 on the line, sure, giving me a Carson City rundown, end of the week rundown. What's going on in that area of the world where now the Marxists have taken over our legislature? What kind of crap are they talking about now?
Because
I know, I just found out, Jim, I got equal rights because supposedly like they passed some sort of equal rights bill or some crap.
Well,
what's going on?
They're wanting to, and it's just now making its way over to the Assembly, so now we're starting to talk about it a little bit. But, you know, it was done a long, long time ago. I mean, supposedly Nevada didn't ratify it or something, and they're wanting that to happen. So I'm going to be against it, but we'll see. It's just, you know what they're doing? It's just more stuff to divide us. That's what they're using. They're using this to divide us more and more and more, and that's the purpose of that bill and many, many other bills that they're proposing.
Will you do me a favor, and when you can talk about, you know, however it goes, I don't know how it goes through the legislature or whatever, just ask him I thought the Lilly Ledbetter Act was supposed to cure all these ills.
Of course.
Right. Right. So that was Obama's premier bill. He put it out in I think it was second or third bill, and all of the women went absolutely crazy over it. Oh, my God, we're finally going to get equal pay for equal work. Never changed because Hillary Clinton paid her female staffers 22% less.
And That's right.
And from what and so did Obama and all. This was a gift to the trial lawyers, of course. So
right.
I don't really understand how this bill, I guess it's part of, they want to do it a constitutional amendment and they need so many states in order to amend and then it has to be an equal rights. It's such malarkey. You know what? We have the bill of, we have the Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights, period.
Exactly. And so, like I said, it's just to shove it in our face and divide us more and more. That's the only reason this is happening, along with the other bills they're doing, like the pink bill. I mean, I haven't even heard it yet. The pink bill, it's where, and I'm not sure whether they're going to go through with this or not, but there was a couple of Democratic assemblywomen proposed feminine hygiene products to be tax-free. That's coming sometime, I think.
Were they wearing tampons in their ears as earrings?
No.
They weren't?
I haven't seen that yet.
How about Sandra Fluke? Have you seen her hanging around Carson City?
No, haven't seen her either.
Oh, yeah. She was a flash in the pan. So now I'm
going
to get. So they're going. Okay. So this is interesting. So female products will be tax free, but they want to raise taxes on everything else, which impacts females. You know, I really don't care the cost of a tampon. Okay. Quite frankly, I don't care. Yeah. Birth control. Again, this is the whole Sandra. It should be provided by the federal government. You know, get out of my bedroom, but make sure that my sex life is, you know, great. And I can just.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It is so ridiculous. I'd love to know that. Who are the two women that want to have tax-free tampons?
Oh,
this is hilarious.
I think it's...
The pink bill, P-I-N-K.
I can't remember. Pink bill, something
tax-free
like that.
They're going to picket for tax-free tampons. I can't wait to ridicule
like
the hell
that.
Out of these two women. This is going to be great.
I know.
So they're going to jack the prices up of everything else I pay for. You know, jack everything up, and I'm going to have, so once a month I get tax-free relief. Lovely.
Right. And they're going to raise your property tax, so that's how we'll pay for it. So.
Oh, is that coming down the pike, too? I can't wait to overturn this election.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to overturn this election.
I wish. I tell you, it's so maddening for conservatives like me being up here, and I'm just sitting there. You know what's funny is, I probably shouldn't say this, but I sit in these committee meetings, And I know sometimes we're on, the camera, right? And they're presenting these bills and there's presentations about it. And I'm sitting there and I know that I have the most disgusted look on my face. Like, you got to be kidding me. I've got to be shaking my head. So I have to be really careful. So.
Yeah. You got to take some poker lessons or get your poker face on. Can you wear those glasses like poker players? You put the glasses on and maybe like a hat, you know, a little incognito.
I wish I could because I definitely need them. Trust me. Because I imagine there's been many, many times when my eyes have rolled when somebody said something, ridiculous. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
See, this is why I don't think I can be a politician. Because I couldn't, I would be, if those two women started talking about tax-free tampons, I would start laughing like a hyena and just making fun of them. I would return to like, how ridiculous. Okay, so any other ridiculous stuff that they're trying to jam down our throats? The property tax, is that property tax increase coming up the pike?
Yeah, and basically the counties are complaining because they didn't get to increase the value of our properties enough. It only, instead of going up 3%, they could only do like 1% or something like that. So they got an increase. They got an increase in the value, but it wasn't enough. So they're saying, oh, we need to be able to do it 3%. It can't go below 3%, something like that. So,
wait a minute. Had this 2008 crash. I didn't live here at the time, okay, but I was, everyone was impacted one way or the other. But Vegas was severely impacted, more so than any other place in the country, whereby we had, the highest amount of foreclosures in the country. And so people are just coming out of being, completely underwater. And the Democrats want to punish the citizenry how again? By implementing a new tax. So how is this supposed to help the unfortunate that nearly lost their entire house or came close to losing it? How are they arguing for this?
Well, it's pretty tough. I mean, if this was a Republican House, both Senate and Assembly, I don't think you'd be arguing for it. But they've got a willing audience on the other side, and they're able to come in and say, oh, we didn't get enough revenue. We didn't get to raise our values of our property so we could get more tax, right?
Do they realize that the property,
3%,
they are the most economic illiterate bunch. Who's supposed to raise the value of their property? It's supply, demand, and market.
That's right. It's the market. That's exactly right. And right now, normally, until this year, they were able to get up to the 3% and raise the value 3% where they could get more tax. And this year, for some reason, it was way less than that. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to go out of business. We're going to have to turn our lights out or something. That's what we heard up here. And
the largest tax increase. Can you stay? Oh, I got feedback. Can you stay on for a little bit longer?
Sure.
Okay,
because
I'm getting the signal that we've got to take a break, keep the lights on here, because God knows if our taxes are going up, we're going to probably have to take more breaks. I don't even know. All right, Jim, so hang on there. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBaby.com, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Coming at you live, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. It's nearly the end of the show. My God, it's nearly the end of the week for me. 5 days, 3 hours a day. I enjoyed the heck out of this. I got to thank Wayne and thank everybody out there for listening. 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. I thank you guys, too. You guys never call, and we got a toll-free number for you and everything, but we can't take any calls right now, but... I want to hear some from some people from Palm Springs. Jim, are you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, so let me just recap real quick. We got tax-free tampons on the docket. So I'm thinking in the spirit of equality, I think that you should propose a bill for, like, tax-free razors or something.
Yeah, we kind of joked about that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
But women use razors too. So we're trying to figure out maybe jock straps. What do you think?
That's true. Yeah. Jock straps would be tax-free jock straps. What else do you guys use?
Yeah.
Like mousse? I don't even know. Beard cream?
I have no idea.
Beard. Toothpicks?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. So tax-free tampons is really being pushed by the Democrats. And then they're going to counter that by increasing property taxes, which makes absolutely no sense. Because supposedly they're not getting the value of their house because someone's supposed to give it to them, I guess. Do all of these women that are now sitting in Carson City have, like, degrees in gender studies or lesbian studies? Or what exactly do they have degrees in? Because we know it's not economics.
It sure seems like it. I'll tell you what, the presentations that I've had to sit through, oh, my gosh. It's
good grief.
I can sit there and I actually feel my blood pressure going up.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I can feel my blood pressure going up.
Like I said, I can't imagine.
But give us some good news. Give us some good news.
Well, one more piece of bad news, and then we'll see if we can find something.
Okay.
I actually, one of my bills was a constitutional carry bill, to allow people to carry a concealed weapon without going through the 120 days, waiting 120 days to get their concealed carry permit. And we would join, I think, 12 or 13 other states that have passed this law. And there's a few more states right now that are passing it. I think Maine was the most recent one during their session. And so, you know, the Second Amendment says that we have the right to bear arms, right, period. So all of these, you know, regulations and whatever that's, I think, hindering basically it's going against the Second Amendment law there. So I wanted to do something and make our state another one of the other states that are allowing constitutional carry. And I don't want to get rid of the concealed carry permit program because we want to maintain our reciprocity with other states that do have concealed carry programs. So we're not getting rid of that. So, but I don't think my bill is going to get heard. The chairman of the judiciary has kind of let us know that we're not even going to hear that bill. So there's no chance of that even getting voted on. So that's not good. And but that's what happens when we're not in control.
Right. And so I would love to have a list of who's up on the Democrat side in 2018. I think I know Kinsella, who introduced a bill to make this state a sanctuary state.
Yeah.
Was she also behind the free tampons or the tax-free tampons?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. So she wants to make this a sanctuary state.
But
guess what? We're going to have tax-free tampons. Okay. That's so great, Kinsella.
Yeah.
Can't she just go back to blocking the strip and maybe putting taco trucks around the Trump Hotel? She was really good at doing that.
I know. And she's only like, what, 20, 22 or something like that?
No, I think she's around the same age as Astrid Silva.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
At 28, she's the Democrat activist who works for the George Soros Organization Plan Nevada, who helped get out the vote. She considers herself a Democrat, but I'm not sure if she's registered. I'd be really curious to find out if Astrid Silva is registered, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, well, you may be interested in this. I also have an election bill that I'm trying to get done, and I actually put in there that undocumented illegal aliens cannot register people to vote. But
awesome.
I doubt that's going to get heard either, chances of of that happening are probably slim and none, but I'm going to try anyway.
Good. Well, I know that you're fighting on our behalf, and I believe that our state is battle-borne to turn this state back to red from blue. Once we get all of the fraud and stuff taken care of, I'm sure it's going to...
Let's hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's hope and pray.
And
absolutely.
Everybody keep encouraging Mr. Trump, President Trump, to follow, to keep his word in National Voter ID.
At National Voter ID. Amen.
Right.
Do you know, this is what I thought was so... another double standard when it comes to Democrats. In order to elect their new chairman, everyone had to show an ID.
Yep.
At the caucus. Right. But yet, yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but to vote, you don't have to prove you are who you are.
There you go.
It's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing.
Well, Jim, thank you for fighting on the conservative side on our behalf of conservative Nevadans, which outnumber the progressives here. And we're going to make sure that we storm the polls in 2018 and take our state back. But I appreciate you being on the front lines, fighting the good fight to protect our rights. And I wish this was my show because I'd have you call in and do a Friday wrap on the Carson City craziness going on.
Well, we could do it.
Well, you know what? Soon. Maybe I'll have my own show soon and we can do that.
Yep.
That'd be great.
And that would be great. You're terrific at what you do.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy it, and you are too. So keep the faith, keep battling. We're battle-born, and I will talk to you soon.
All right.
All righty.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim.
All righty.
Folks, that was Jim Marchant out of the 38th District, one of the very few conservatives that won in his district. I guess they didn't have enough fraud planned out for that district like they did the others. So that is the end of the week, for me anyway. I have been so incredibly blessed to have this mic for 3 hours a night. We've had so many callers, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate all the emails that I get. I thank Wayne Allen Root for allowing me the opportunity to take over his dynamic, awesome, kick-ass show. You know, we're different in personality, but we got kind of the same outlook on life. We're both conservative warriors. And I'm with him every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 4 so he can get a good workout in, so he keeps his strength up battling the institutionalized left. And I'm always willing to go to battle for all of you to make sure that our freedoms, our liberties are always protected, and that the institutionalized left is backed into a corner, and that we remain a strong front and a united front. And how we do that is we don't do that with violence, and we don't do that protests, and we don't do it by lying, cheating, and stealing. No, we don't. We do that by using the truth. We arm ourselves with the truth. I promise you the truth every time I get behind this microphone. And at ReaganBabe.com, you will always find it. You can always tweet me, Reagan_baby, or find me on Facebook. I'd love to get a shout out from you there on my Facebook fan page. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.